Well, John Crawford instructed me to stick with the basics. Then as I saw various ones of you coming and saw you over in the dining hall, these senior, experienced people around, I thought, wow. Well, I just have to say, I'm not talking to you. I should be listening to you. But I'm going to be talking to the people you brought. So if you feel on next session you want to have a cup of coffee together while I'm talking, that won't bother me at all. In fact, I might kind of like that. I don't know. I first saw Nebraska, Kansas, and Oklahoma when I was on a farm in Iowa in the form of a huge dust cloud coming up in the dust bowl place. That was scary. Like a black thunderstorm, except rolling along ground. That and the drought in Iowa happened a few summers too often, and Dad finally auctioned off the farm, everything on it, in one day, and we headed for California. There, first day in high school, I was a senior. I saw in typing class a beautiful blonde girl walking down by the windows. I inquired about her as to who she was, where she lived, if she was going steady with anybody, and if so, how big he might be, because that wouldn't have made any difference, really. I liked girls, but they hadn't liked me back. So I thought I found out something strange about this particular one, and it was that she not only went to church regularly, but she liked it. So I thought I'd go to church, that little church, some Sunday night in hopes to take her home afterwards. And there, for the first time I could remember, I heard the gospel. And that went on for some weeks. Later on, an evangelist came to town and set up a tent on a vacant lot, the old sawdust trail. You don't think that would go again today? I really love that kind of a deal. I heard the gospel again, and finally one night when I was 17, I was gone to bed and I was lying awake thinking about it, and I thought, I'm not sure I ever received Christ in my life. If I died tonight, I'm not certain where I'd go. Oh, of course, who's going to die tonight? You're young, long life ahead of you. Besides, maybe you did that when you were a boy back in Iowa. But I couldn't remember. So I decided I'm going to make sure. And I slipped out of bed on my knees and I prayed this simple prayer. I said, Lord Jesus, I know I'm a sinner. And I know that you died for me. And if I have never asked you to come into my heart before, I do ask you to come in right now. And I got back into bed. My life changed at that moment. It's been a fantastic adventure ever since. One of the things that happened was that the Bible before that had been dry as dust. You remember that probably. Couldn't make head or tail of it. And it began to come alive. And then I heard about a life verse. Some people had a life verse. Well, that's a great idea. And I was so excited about the Bible, I got a life verse a week. One of them lasted. 1 Corinthians 15:58. It's with great difficulty I decided not to preach on that verse during this weekend. It was, therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Now I want to stop right here for a moment. Two things. You came here to the conference. Why? I don't know. Wanted to. Somebody brought you. Maybe a little uneasy. Could it be that you came and the very first step you need, it's whether it's a walk in the rain or some way, however you do it, to just stop and admit to yourself you're not really certain where you're headed. If your life ended tonight, you're not certain where you go. And you could do what I did. You could say, Lord Jesus, I know I'm a sinner. And I do believe that you died on the cross for me. And if I have never asked you to come into my heart and life before, I do ask you to come in right now. In fact, without anybody noticing, you can do that right where you sit right now. And he'll come in because he said he would. There may be some others of you, you've done that. You've come and we're bright and happy. We slap each other on the back, but down inside you're kind of discouraged. Well, your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Promises of God are certain. Then that song you sang, and here I am. I'm even not at the introduction. See, what I got here, these are the notes I scribbled while I was sitting there. The real ones I did on a computer when I was home. Now, when I stick with those, then you know I'm on the road again. I'm not there yet. When this blonde was 16 that I told you about, I was 17, we started to go together. In June, October, I knelt beside my bed. It was September. October, we decided to go with nobody else but each other. Following January, we went to a youth meeting. I turned 18 by that time. She was still 16. Citywide youth meeting, and a challenge was given there to follow Christ wherever he led, wherever that meant. Whatever that meant. Your song reminded me of this. And when the invitation was given, hand in hand, my girlfriend and I came down at the front, and together we made that commitment. That's been a long time ago. That's been 6 kids ago. What a great life. And I want to say before God and you men that that commitment still holds. When you do business with God, be serious about it. Or don't say anything. We don't play at this. Well, among the verses, over a lifetime, there are certain ones you go back to and go back to and go back to. Those are the ones I'm going to share with you. And one tonight is Isaiah 43, verse 1. Isaiah 43, 1. You know, the Bible is like a South Africa diamond mine. Everywhere you look, they're just gems, diamonds, all over the place. Same with the Bible, and you can miss them. And here's one of those diamonds. And you look at it from various angles, and it sparkles from whatever angle you look at it. And you polish it up. And you say, wow. That's what I think about Isaiah 43:1. But now thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, and he who formed thee, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name, by your name. You are mine. Now you are aware that very little of the Bible was written to us. You take the book of Luke, the book of Acts, were written to Theophilus. It's part of Isaiah to Israel. But it's also equally true that all the Bible is written for us. The things that were written aforetime were written for our learning. This is written for you and me. And now where it says Jacob and it says Israel, you could put your name in there. But now thus saith the Lord that created you, O Kevin, Steve, Henry, whatever your name is. And that formed you. Put your name in there. Fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by your name. You are mine. Now I think the theme of that one scripture verse is five words. Right in the middle, you see those words, fear not. I don't know if you underline your Bible or if you have a little marking pen with which to do it. If you do, you might underline those two words, fear not. And then at the very end of the verse, there are three more. You are mine. Fear not, you are mine. That's the theme. Well, you all look to me like everything's fine with you. Yet once in a while, we have fears and worries. I heard about a guy who said he had so many worries that he couldn't take on another one for at least 6 months. And that fact worried him very much. Fear not. Worry is a kind of fear. Others feel worthless. It's amazing how down inside, from time to time, we just don't feel like we're worth anything. I think of a beautiful woman, wife, great marriage, wonderful children, poised lady, and in a small group Bible study, she wept and shared that she felt so worthless. And if you'd have seen her, if there's anybody in this world that would not feel that way, that has it all together, it's her. Felt worthless. Ever feel that way? Once in a while. Once in a while. Others, maybe in some fiery trials, some great difficulties, some deep waters. And you're barely keeping your head above water. Listen to the next verse in Isaiah 43, verse 2. When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. He didn't say if, he says when you go through fiery trials. When it looks like you're being overwhelmed, not if. So I would say that if you don't feel you need this message tonight, take notes, because I guarantee you the time will come when you will. It's life. But don't fear that either, because God uses those in our lives. So, he says, fear not, you are mine, for three reasons. First, he said, I created you. Secondly, I redeemed you. And thirdly, I called you. First, I created you, I formed you. You know Psalm 100 verse 3. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. You know, us guys here tonight, we. He made us. Regardless of how you got here, he says, I made you. I remember the time and place. It's funny that it was hit you like this. I was thinking about illegitimate children and all that heartache, all that goes along with this. And I remember I was walking down the streets of San Diego, and why should I think of that? I don't know. But it's a light dawned. There is no, I said to myself, there is no such thing as an illegitimate child. only illegitimate parents. Every child, God says, I made you. You've got a clean start. And should have no stigma, no anything on them, right? God said, I made them. A young man said, my parents said I was a biological mistake, and they treated me that way. Well, the parents may not have wanted you, but God does. I take you. I made you. You bet. We'll walk through this together. I like the bumper sticker, God don't make no junk. God made you. He doesn't make junk. He made you in His image. With personality. The ability to think, to feel, to act. Conscience. In fact, you're top of the line. Except the angels. I think we're a little lower than the angels. I'm not too sure about that theologically here. That just came to me. And so it's a little dangerous when things just come to you and you share them. But He said, fear not, I made you. But a problem did develop, didn't it? There is a problem. The image was marred. It was damaged by sin. Because Isaiah 53:6 is true. That all we, like sheep, have gone astray. All we, like sheep, have gone astray. All we, like sheep, have gone astray. We have wandered off. But not even more. All we, like sheep, have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. We've not only wandered off, we have rebelled. The result? Alienated from God, conflict with others, enslaved to ourselves. All damaged. All damaged. But God took care of that too. He said, I redeemed you. I laid on him, my son, the iniquity of us all. Fear not. Okay, you're damaged. You wandered off. Convicted that. But you're still mine. I redeemed you. I bought you. And you remember what Peter said in 1 Peter 1:18 and 19? For as much as you know that you're not redeemed with silver and gold, a little bit later about what? With the precious blood of Christ, as of the Lamb without spot and without blemish. I was thinking one day about Psalm 78:7. They might put their hope in God and not forget the works of God. And I was thinking, what are the greatest works of God thus far? I decided there are two. First is creation. I decided the second is redemption. What to you was the greatest day in human history? Is it Christmas when God became man? Was it Easter when Jesus was raised from the dead? Yeah. To me, the most incredible day in human history was Good Friday. When God, in Jesus, voluntarily suffered death at the hands of cruel men to take your sins and my sins on his body on the cross. Incredible. You know, I looked that up a year or two ago. Why do we call it Good Friday? Was he originally called God's Friday? Yeah. He says, I made you. But I redeemed you at the greatest price the universe has. All my lifetime, I have looked for an illustration to beat this one I'm going to share with you that I heard 50 years ago. You maybe heard it, I don't know how often, but here it comes again. A boy had made a little sailboat. Made it himself. Put a lot of effort into it. Day came, was ready, he took it down to the lake shore to sail it. He was sailing along the shore, having a great time, when an unexpected strong gust of wind came and blew it out of reach. And there he saw it go, and it was kept blowing, and it disappeared around the peninsula. And he ran over there and looked around, and it was nowhere to be seen. Heartbroken. His precious sailboat was gone. About a week later, he was walking downtown past a pawn shop. He looked in the pawn shop window, and sure enough, there was his boat. He knew it was his boat. He'd made it. He knew every little inch of that boat. So he went into the pawnbroker and he said, "Sir, that's my boat. I like my boat." He said, "Well, son, it may be, but I gave somebody some money for that, and you'll have to buy it." Couldn't quite figure out why he had to buy his own boat back. But he went home and scraped up what he could and got enough, went back and bought his boat. So now he's got his boat and he's walking down the street and he's talking to it. He said, "Little boat, now you're twice mine. First I made you, and now I bought you." That's what God says. You're twice mine. First I made you, and you drifted off, you even rebelled. But I bought you. I bought you back. So you are mine. Twice mine. Then there's a third. He said, "I have called you by your name." I called you by your name. Well, there are several things to which he called us. The first is, in Romans 1:6, we are called to belong to Jesus Christ. I heard about a little girl climbing up on her daddy's lap and said, "Daddy, am I your little girl?" "Yes, you're my little girl." "I belong to you?" "Yes, honey, you belong to me." "Well, I always belong to you." "Well, you grow up and you may go off to school, you may even get married, but yes, you'll always belong to me. You'll be my daughter." "Why do you ask?" "Oh, I just wondered." Jumped back down and went out to play. She expressed the deepest longing, one of the several deepest longings in the human heart, to belong. The security of belonging. We are called to belong to Jesus Christ, and we do. "So fear not, you're his. You are mine." And not only that, we are called to be like Christ. We all know Romans 8:28, for as much as you know, I know it very well. Forgot it. You'll get just a little aside. One time, I was speaking at a banquet. Quite a few people there. And I was saying, there's no greater summary of the gospel message than John 3:16. And I couldn't remember to save my neck. Well, Romans 8:28. "For we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them that are called according to his purpose," etc., etc., etc. Which purpose is what? To be conformed to the image of his son. To be like Jesus. I went into a hotel one time where it was really pretty well torn up with renovation. And there was a big sign. I like that sign. It says, "When the dust is cleared away, you will see one very beautiful building." When you have passed through the waters and through the fire, and the dust will clear away, you're going to be one beautiful person, like Jesus. Not only did he call you, but he called you, he says, called you by name. Ooh, I like that. You know, one of the most thrilling verses in the Bible to me is John 1:6. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. Think of that. There was a man walking this little planet Earth, sent from God who created heaven and earth. And not just any man, a man, his name was John. And again, there was a man sent from God